This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Person whose heart is attached to the masjid. Right, he said actually, ورجل, a man whose his heart attached to the masjid. But as we said early, the man here, it doesn't mean restricted only to men, but to women, because men are the one who've been obligated on them to pray in the masjid and congregation in jama'ah. Salat al-jama'ah, tajib, يعني wujub, fard, ayn aw fard kifaya, ala khilab bayna ahli al-ilm. Is it fard kifaya, يعني if some Muslim established the salat in the jama'ah, the rest of the Muslim became for them just a recommended act, or it's obligatory upon each and every Muslim to pray in the masjid? Two different opinions. But in the end of the day, it is basically something was made in relation to men. For women, it is permissible for them to come to the masjid. We never stop them from coming to the masjid. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم in حديث عائشة في صحيح مسلم قال لا تمنع إماء الله مساجد الله. You're not allowed to stop women from coming to the masjid. And during the Prophet ﷺ, women used to often come to the masjid in all prayers, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, as it will establish in so many ahadith in Sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet ﷺ said here, one of the people who will be in the shade of Allah, fi dhilli arshir rahman, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. Your heart attached to the masajid. Al-masajid, it is Beautullah. Al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ يعني أَحَبُّ الْأَمَاكِنْ وَالْبِقَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ المساجد. The most beloved places to Allah are the masajid. The most beloved places to Allah are the masajid. Reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Masjid baytu kulli mu'min. Al-Masjid, it's been narrated in hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by Ibn Nu'aym, that he said, the masjid is the house for every mu'min. Belong to every mu'min. There is no house belong to someone. It's for all the believers, for all the believers. Simple fact, you think, I've been to a masjid, it says in the outside, in the door, okay? And this masjid, it was in country far away from the country of Islam. It was in America. It was one of the cities, okay? And in the masjid, it's written a sign. It says, those people from such and such country, not allowed to enter the masjid. قال ممنوع دخول كذا وكذا من الجنسيات. Specify certain nationalities from Muslim countries and even Arab countries, they're not allowed to enter the masjid. So racist, because they had a problem with this country. When the majority of the people pray the masjid. المساجد لله, it's not belong to a group, ethnic group or anyone. It's لله سبحانه وتعالى. It's بيت كل مؤمن, the house for every and each believer. These masajid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about it, في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. الله أكبر. In houses, homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the masajid buyut, home. Can anyone here tell me what is the benefit of referring to masjid as home? إيش الفائدة في التعبير عن المسجد بكونه بيت؟ ليش الله سبحانه وتعالى استخدم هذه الوصف؟ Why you think Allah سبحانه وتعالى would use this description for the masjid, home? ما هو يعني لابد الإنسان يتدبر القرآن. It's important that we understand the Quran and contemplate on the Quran. Even if you don't understand Arabic, when you read the translation home, house, why Allah use this? Ask yourself. Yes. Very good. It's you feel comfortable. You know, nothing like home, we say. Nothing like home. It's so homey, this place. Yeah, and you're comfortable, relax. And this is something important in the masajid. It need to give you that feeling of homey. You know, it's not a commercialized. It's not commercialized. It's not a masajid that it is, you know, that is disturbing. And, you know, it's had that calmness. It's had rest. A place where you rest, you feel comfortable, you feel yourself. You don't act up. This is how it is, the homes, the house and the home. You know, we're home, we are one family. So في المسجد, we have to be one family أيضا. البيت كالعائلة. We have to be in the masjid like a family towards one another. So التعبير بكلمة بيت من أجمل التعبير. Beautiful way of describing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أذن الله أن ترفع. Allah give the permission for these houses to be established, to be raised. Okay? وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. And in it, Allah should be mentioned. Nobody else. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. المساجد belong to Allah. No other than Allah should be mentioned. حتى العلماء قالوا, you're not allowed to praise people or to talk about people in the masajid or recite poetry. Some ulama went too strict. Take this literally. Said only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be mentioned in these masajid. That's why we call the adhan, we call the iqama, we mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make Qur'an, dhikr and qira'ah. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا هَذِهِ الْمَسَاجِدِ إِنَّمَا جُعِلَتْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah made and ordained these masajid for Allah to be remembered. And the remembrance of Allah means to mention and to know His names and attributes, or to learn His deen, to learn His deen, for His deen to be learned. هذا من ذكر الله. مجالس الحلال والحرام هي مجالس ذكر الله. The gathering of learning what is lawful and unlawful, it is the gathering of ذكر. It is the gathering of ذكر. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He will be mentioned in it in the day, in the afternoon, in the night, all the time. Then he said, very interesting. In it من لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. In it من they will not be diverts from trade nor sell. يعني nor trade nor sell. Well, take them away, keep them busy from mentioning Allah, establishing salah, giving zakat. I have a question for you. عندي سؤال لكم. لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع. Trade nor what? Sale. Question. Isn't sale part of trade? يعني أليس البيع جزء من التجارة؟ So why you think the wisdom, why Allah specified this specific transaction? يعني He could have said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not, trade will not keep them busy, will not diverge them or take them away. خلاص, trade means selling and buying. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, trade nor sell. يعني He emphasizes on the issue of sell. Why? What's the wisdom you think? العلماء قالوا لأن الربح في البيع محقق. يعني التاجر إذا باع فهذا يريده التاجر. He said the businessman, when he get opportunity to sell, when you buy, you didn't know if you're going to make money or not. That's right. You didn't know if you're going to make your money or not. But when sell comes and you're going to make the kill, you're going to make the sell, that's the most important thing. Because buying, you have a risk. You're going to sell it or not. But selling now, you guarantee the profit. You guarantee you're going to get rid of the product. Even with this guarantee business deal to be made, this will not stop them from dhikrullah. There is something more important than that. As-salat and the dhikrullah and coming to the masjid on time and giving the zakat. More important than anything else in their life. So these are the houses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prays in His book. How can your heart be attached to the masjid? What that means? Their heart attached to masjid. One of the first meaning, يعني قلوبهم معلقة بالمساجد ببنائها. One of the first meaning, they build masjid. They like to build a masjid. They like to participate in building masjids. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, من بنى لله مسجدا دخل الجنة. If you build a masjid for the sake of Allah, you enter Jannah. Ya Shaykh, I don't have money to build a masjid. يعني masjid, building masjid required quite money. I don't have that. Don't worry. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, من بنى لله مسجدا ولو كمفحص قطاه. دخل الجنة. مفحص القطاء هو عش طائر القطاء وهو عش صغير. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: If you build a masjid, even if it is in the size of the nest of al-qata, which is a bird, you will enter Jannah. Question: What do you think is the benefit of this metaphor? Because obviously nobody ever going to make a masjid in the size of the nest of the bird. It's that big. Where are you going to stand to pray? To that metaphorical speech, this metaphor, what the benefit of it? Al-ulama said two things. One, yani even if the masjid is not so spacious, not too big, not huge masjid, even it's a small masjid. Second benefit from this, and it's so beautiful and good news for all of you. قال العلماء, even if your share in building the masjid as the size of the nest of the bird, you get the ajr. The $100 that you put, or the 500 rupiah that you put, or the 2,000 riyal that you put, even if it's only going to build from the masjid as much as, you know, that big, like the nest of the bird. If this is your share in the masjid, you get the ajr. You get the reward of entering Jannah. Because you're dealing with the most generous subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're dealing with the most generous sahib al-fadl al-azim subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, one of the meaning of being attached, your heart attached to the masjid, that you care to pray in the masjid. You pray there. That's what somebody attached to the masjid. He feels like, you know, I don't want to miss the salat. I want to be there in the salat. I don't want to miss the salat. One of the brothers said, I walk into the masjid, okay? I walk into the masjid. But the masjid that he goes to, you know, some of the masajid, when you walk inside the masjid, there is like an area, not carpeted area, has like a tile. So people put their shoes in it. He said, I enter the masjid and I see this guy between the shoes making sujood. Asr salah didn't start yet. Yani we asr inshallah in 5 minutes. And I enter the masjid and I see this young man making sujood between the shoes in the back. Isn't that something strange? Strange, sah? That's right. He said, I waited until he finished and I went to him. I said, and he's crying. I said, you okay? What's wrong? He said, since you ask, I read this hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever pray 40 days in the masjid, never miss the first takbirah, enter, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him bara'atan, bara'ah min al-nar wa bara'ah min al-nifaq. Allah give him a guarantee that he's free of hypocrisy and he's free from hellfire, and he's free from being touched or punished by the hellfire. He said, this Salat al-Asr will make 40 days. I started Asr 40 days ago. So today I woke up late, I was taking a nap, and I woke up late, and my masjid next to my house, they started the salah. They started the salah. I was crying when I'm putting my wudu, get into my car, rush to this masjid because I know they pray iqama later, crying, said, Ya Rabb, you don't want to give me that certificate. Ya Rabb, what I have done. Wallahi, Ya Rabb, I did it for you. Wallahi, Ya Rabb, I love your masajid. Wallahi, Ya Rabb, I love salat. I just did that commitment for 40 days to make an extra step. And the whole time I was crying that I thought Allah doesn't want to give me that guarantee. Maybe I'm not worthy of it. So when I entered the masjid and I saw you guys sitting, you didn't start the iqama yet, I made sujood shukr lillah. I fall down and I made sujood thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave me the opportunity to do the 40 days. Ya akhi, these hearts are attached to the masjid. When they hear the adhan, when they hear the salat, they just want, they can't, they want to go to the masjid. This heart is something, as salat means a lot to them. It's not like, subhanAllah, the Nabi SAW said, min akhir min alamat al-qiyamah, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, min alamat akhir al-sa'ah, min ashrat al-sa'ati an yamur al-rajul, yaqul al-Nabi SAW, ala al-masjid la yusalli fihi rak'atayn, wa la yusallim al-rajul illa ala man ya'rif, rawahu al-Tabarani. One of the signs of the Day of Judgment, that you will find people come to the masajid and they will not pray even 2 rak'ahs in it. And they will not give salam unless to the person that they know. They don't spread salam. Question. Why people will come to the masjid if they're not going to pray two rakahs? I won't bring them to the masjid. They're not going to pray at all. Because in the end of the days, the masajid will become like an exhibit. He comes just to see the decoration. When I was in Malaysia, you know, they have the most beautiful masjid I've ever seen in my life in Malaysia. So we went to one of the masjid called the Masjid Al-Ahmar, the Red Masjid or the Sultan. So when we entered, you know, it's really like an exhibit. It's beautiful. It's unbelievable, especially if you like architect. So the one who with me, he told me, "Khalas, let's go, Sheikh." I said, "That's it. We don't pray. Yani we will walk all the way here just to walk and to see how beautiful this place is." No. Can you imagine if I come from America to this place, Al Fanar Center, okay, or Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed Al Mahmoud Center, and I just go down to the exhibit about understanding Islam, and I don't even pray in this masjid? That's not right. That's not a heart attached to the masjid. The heart attached to the masjid, they pray in the masajid. Also, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is in the end of the days people gather in the masajid for the sake of dunya, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, every time you walk to the masjid, من غدا إلى المسجد أو راح, every time you walk to the masjid, in the daytime or night time, أعد الله له نزلا في الجنة كلما غدا أو راح, Allah will prepare for you an access, easy access in the day of judgment to paradise. Easy access. And you need this when you go over the sirat, the bridge above Jahannam. You need this access when you are in the standing, where you're standing for your judgment day, in the day of judgment. Easy access every time you go to the masjid. Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. See the best example. Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Wa an abiha. She said, أن عبيد بن عبد الله قال سأل عائشة ألا تحدثيني عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن موت رسول الله. He asked her, tell me about the death of the Prophet. How did it start? The death of the Prophet. Tell me the last days of the Prophet. So part of what she said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثقل, so heavy. He said, أصلى الناس, did people pray? She said, no, they're waiting for you. Then he said, bring me water. So she get a water for him, and he put the water above his body, like making ghusl, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he pushed himself, he barely stood up, then he fainted. High fever. He fainted. Bi abi ummi wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he woke up and he said, Ya Aisha, asalla an-nas. Did people pray? First heart attached the masjid to the salah. She said, no, waiting for you. He said, give me water. She said, then he put the water over his body. And he put himself, and he pushed himself up. In no time, he fall again, fainting. Lost conscious. Then he woke up. أصلى الناس. No, they're waiting for you, Ya Rasulullah. Then he said, give me water. Three times. Then he washed himself. Then in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, after that, find himself a little bit light, he can walk. Then he asked two of his companions to come. He put his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the shoulder of one of them, and the other hand in the other shoulder. And they drag him to the masjid. تقول عائشة, والله إني لأرى خط قدمي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأرض. She said, والله I can see the Prophet ﷺ's feet dragging in the floor because it's sand, and I see two lines on the sand while he's dragging his feet. All is this for what? Because he didn't want to miss the salat with the in congregation. He doesn't want to miss the salat in jama'ah. He doesn't want to miss the salat with the community. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. ثَلَاثَةٌ فِي ضَمَانِ اللَّهِ. Three people Allah guaranteed them protection. رجل خرج إلى المسجد. A person went to the masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من خرج من بيته إلى صلاة مكتوبة يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأجره أجر الحاج المحرم ومن خرج إلى تسبيح الضحى لا ينصبه إلا إياه فأجره كأجر المعتمر وصلاة على إثر صلاة لا لغو بينهما كتاب في عليين. Reported by Abi Umam and Hadith Abi Dawud radiallahu anhu. That Abu Dawud narrated that the Prophet said, whoever leave his house after he or she made wudu, and you make wudu in your house, then you come to pray in the masjid an obligatory prayers, one of the five daily prayers. And you come for that, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you take the ajr of someone performing hajj, as if someone went to hajj. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if you come to the masjid in the daytime, nothing bring you to the masjid except to pray the dhuha, the daytime prayer, the volunteer prayer. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your reward will be equal to someone went to perform umrah. To perform umrah. And he said, a prayer after a prayer. Prayer after a prayer. Nothing in between them. No sins in between them. No sins in between them. This person's book, record of that day, will be in Illiyin, in the highest level next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne. Can you imagine if every day you have this record in the highest level next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your name written in a book next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne? Kitabun fi illiyin. Qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Salatu al-rajl fi jama'ah ta'dil salat al-fard 24 daraja. 24 times better. 27 times better in another hadith. You know what that means technically? يعني you multiply your salat 24. And let's say, I pray in the masjid and someone else pray at home. When we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that I lived 24 or 27 years more of salat each time. Yani we pray dhuhr, I prayed dhuhr for 1 year. Okay? Mine multiply 24 times, as if 24 years, while it is still one. You see how you can multiply your salah. You live very long life this way. Ata' ibn al-Sa'ib. One of also the meaning of attached to the masjid, that you love to stay in the masjid. And I noticed this, subhanAllah, there is people, they don't like to sit in the masjid. You say, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. While you're doing the other salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, you see kila with your eyes, people already at the door. People running. Wallahi, ka'annahum ya'ani, as if you bird and you open the cage. They just run outside the masjid. And by the way, this exists even in the early days. Sur'an al-qawmi, someone of the sahaba. The hasten people. Just hasten outside. That's why it's very important your kids teach them. When the salah finished, don't just run. After the salah, there is something to go, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. There is adhkar. Just calm down. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anyone make salah, then he stayed in his place after the salat, after his salat, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, as long as you didn't break your wudu, there is angels saying, oh Allah, shower him with your mercy. Oh Allah, give him guidance to tawbah. Oh Allah, accept his repentance. Oh Allah, forgive him. Unless you do one of two things, أن يحدث أو يؤذي. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, ما لم يحدث أو يؤذي, unless you break your wudu or تؤذي, you harm someone. Make ghiba, you make gossip, you speak ill, okay, you say bad words, you know. In this case, you lose the ajr. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari wa Muslim, Abdurrahman ibn Sulami, rahimahullah, great of the scholars, he was in his last moment and he was in the masjid. So Ata ibn Sa'ib told him, should we move you to the house, comfortable bed? He said, no. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are in salat as long as you're staying in the masjid. As long as I would like to die while I'm in my salat. I would like to die while I'm in my salat. That's why النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يعني order us to stay and to wait for the next salah. You prayed Maghrib, you didn't have something to do. Wait for them for the Isha. Wait for the Isha. You came early, you prayed Asr, you want to wait for Maghrib. That's something very special. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أدلكم على ما يكفر الله به الخطايا. Do you want to know the thing that it will erase your sins and increase your good deeds? ويزيد في الحسنات. Who doesn't want to know? Everybody does. قال إسباغ الوضوء على السبرات وفي رواية على المكروهات. To perfect your wudu in a time when it's hard to do it. You know the summer hot days when the water comes so hot and you barely touch the water? Huh? In these days, you don't perfect your wudu. No, even if it's hard, and sometimes in the country very cold, when it's tough to do that, but you still make your wudu perfect. That's one of the things, if you do it during that time, it is one of the things that completely erased, wiped out your sins. Then, وَكُثْرَةُ الْخُطَى إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ. You make so many steps to the masjid. Ibn Mas'ud, when he heard this hadith, when he walked to the masjid, he make baby steps. Baby steps. So he had more numbers of steps. When he heard the iqamah, he make big steps. رضي الله عنه وارضاه. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَانْتِظَارُ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. Then the third one, you wait, after you finish the salah, you wait in the masjid for the next salah. It's one of the things that it will wipe out your sins and raise your deeds. إِنَّكُمْ لَنْ تَزَالُوا فِي صَلَاةِ مَنْ تَظَرْتُمُ الصَّلَاةِ. While you are waiting for the salah, as if you are praying. The same ajr you get when you pray, you get when you're waiting for the salah. One of the meaning also being attached to the masjid, you like to come early to the masjid. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the best deeds is to pray the salat in the beginning of the time. كان الأعمش 70 سنة يا أخوان. الأعمش was 70 years old. He said, I never ever, ever came late to the masjid. I never ever missed being behind the imam. 70 years old. I never missed being behind the masjid. I never missed the first takbirah. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, okay, once he was taken by the government and tortured. He was beating and he came late. He missed the first takbirah. He was crying. They said, Ya Imam, you're crying because they hurt you? What? He said, no, for the last 40 years, I never in my life seen these faces. What he means? Yani, I never prayed in the back, so I never saw these faces in my life. Last 40 years, I never missed the first takbirah. I always behind the imam. I will make him cry. They love the masjid. They love to come early to it. They love to stay in it. Al-Rabi' ibn Khuthaym, he used to basically stay in the masjid for a long time. That they call him the masjid's bird. Kan hamamatul masjid. Some of the ulama, like for example, Ata هذا من تلاميذ, one of the great tabi'een, great mufassir. He said, the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, I lived in it literally 20 years. قال كان في راشي المسجد 20 سنة. And he said, sometimes my nafs call me to go see what's outside, blah, blah, blah. He said, I bring chain and I lock myself in the masjid. He said, I bring a chain and I tie myself to one of the pillars. So I don't leave the masjid. هذا أيضا طاووس بن narrated that he did something similar to that. حماد بن سلمة, known of his love to the masjid, he died in the masjid while he's making salah, رحمه الله تعالى. Abu Ishaq al-Bukhari, رحمه الله, he said, one day, he missed the salah in the masjid. He missed the salah in the masjid. So somebody came and told him, are you okay? What's happening? And he was sad. This is why you're sad. He said, if my son die, I will have hundreds of people coming to tell me we're sorry, give their condolences. But I came late. He came late in the masjid and I missed the masjid. He came late actually and he missed the salah. He said, I came late and I missed the salah and nobody even cared. He said, wallahi, missing the salah is worse than losing a child to me. One of the meaning of attaching to the masjid, keep it clear, clean. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, one of the good deeds that you, picking things from the floor, even the threads, the small little things, you see it, you pick it and you clean it, because you want your masjid clean. Don't say, oh, there is somebody going to clean it. You clean it yourself. Cleaning the masjid is in itself a good deed. You make sure it's clean. It also from the sunnah to perfume, the masjid, to bring perfumes and good. But make sure this is like by permissions, because if it's kept random, it can make a mess. But you know what, Sheikh, I want to sponsor some of the bukhur, some of the, you know, good smells, I want to bring it. I care about keeping my masjid clean and clear. And it's not only the prayer area, and I notice, I'm sorry to say that, yesterday we had the snacks and stuff like that, yesterday. I know it's a different culture here, but it's not acceptable. People like leaving their snack box here and putting their juice box here. That's not right. We care about our masjid, our center, to keep it clean, fresh, nice. One of the things also about attaching to the masjid that you love to keep it calm. No fight, no argument. Things go smooth. So supporting it. Alhamdulillah, you live in guys in countries that alhamdulillah give you that, yani cover this area, at least support the masajid financially. But maybe in other parts of the world that you belong to, you love to support the masajid in back your, maybe some country you came from, to support it financially and so forth. That's part of being attached to the masjid. The next one, two persons who loved and meet each other and depart from each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said one of his favorites upon the believers. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ He's the one who joined their hearts together.
لَوْ أَنفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ
If you spend all the wealth in the world to bring their hearts together, you could not, Ya Muhammad. Allah brought their hearts together. One of the things that a lot of people became Muslim, when they come and they see, wow, this guy looks Indian, this guy looks Pakistan, looks Bangladesh, looks, you know, and you come down, he's Irani, he's Turkey, he's Iraqi, he's Syrian, he's, you know, he's Arab, he's from Gulf, he's from Yemen, he's from Arabia, he's from Egypt, he's from Palestine, he's from Algeria, he's from this. Oh, he's Indonesian, he's Malaysian, he's Moroccan, he's, oh, this is a Spain, from Spain, this is white, this is black, this is Caucasian, this is this, that. All different kind of people. And subhanAllah, we are like this. Alhamdulillah. We pray together, we make hajj together, we stand together. Nobody feels that I'm better than anyone else here. We're all brothers and sisters. This unity have made a lot of people love Islam. This brotherhood, it's missing. A lot of people found this one of the most unique things about Muslims. I want you to know the importance of this concept and to teach it to your kids from the very early age, the importance of loving one another for the sake of Allah. I love you for the sake of Allah. And we are all brothers and sisters, and we love each other, we care for each other. Unfortunately today, even for any small thing, we can curse, we can fight. I ask you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about it for a while. If this concept of wala, of love one another, caring for one another, if this is really rooted and deeply established in the heart of the mu'min, would you see in the street of some Muslim country, a soldier beating up his brother or sisters? Would you see in a Muslim country where basically people fighting one another, throwing rocks and throwing fire upon, doesn't care who died, doesn't care who get injured? Heartless. If this person just was raised to know that this is my brother, that I love him for the sake of Allah, do you think we will see what we see in most of these crises today and civil wars that we see today?
Do you think if we really know the meaning of love one another, we will be so mean and harsh toward one another in emails and Facebook comments, on Twitters, on and social media? We just cut each other. Somebody come in the videotape and he just slamming everybody. Does that person really have love for his brothers? Does that really think that I'm his brother and he loves me for the sake of Allah? Why the hate? Why the anger? Because this was never established. We always talk about al-bara, 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 al-bara. What is al-wala? It says al-wala and al-bara. Al-wala first.
والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض.
The believers, male and females, are أولياء to one another.
إنما المؤمنون إخوة.
All the believers are brothers and sisters to one another. This concept needs to be revival today, and I think it is, should be one of our priorities in da'wah. And I think every organization, every group, we should revival among the Muslims the love for one another. Not to be divided based on ethnic groups or nationalism should not let strip us from the love of one another. We can have different tongues, we can have different nationalities, we can have different backgrounds, cultures, but doesn't mean that we lose the love for one another, the care for one another. That's unacceptable for us as a believers and a Muslims.
قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الله said حقت محبتي للمتحبين فيا.
Absolutely my love will be given to those who love one another for the sake of Allah.
Abu Idris al-Khawlani entered the masjid of Damascus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring peace to that country and bring stability to it. He entered Damascus and he said, I saw this man, Barraq al-Thanaya, Hasan al-Tala. His face is so shiny. His teeth are white like pearls. Beautiful smile. And around him, a group, he's a young man, and around him, a group of the companions, uncles, elders. When he speaks, they listen. And when they talk, they keep looking at him, seeking his approval. So I know that this is, must be somebody who's very, very special. فَقُلْتُ لِخَالِي, I said, my uncle, who's this person that the Sahaba treating him this way? قَالَ هَذَا مُعَاذُ بْنِ جَبَلٍ. This is Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the most knowledgeable person, halal and haram. I talked about him yesterday. Then Abu Idris said, by the way, Abu Idris, 7 years old. 7 years old, 8 years old boy. 8 years old boy. He said, I came before Fajr to make sure I have a spot in the front to pray next to him. He said, I came before Fajr and I found him praying. So I sat next to him until he finished. And after Mu'adh Jabal finished the Salah, I came to him and I said, are you the Prophet ﷺ's companion, Mu'adh ibn Jabal? He said, yes, indeed I am. He said, I only came here to tell you that I love you for the sake of Allah. Ya salam. What a child was raised in a house to teach him the value of mahabbatul mu'mineen, the love for the beloved, for your brothers. I love you for the sake of Allah. Then Mu'adh told him, Allah, I ask of Allah, that's why you came here? He said, yes. He said, Allah, that's why you are here? He said, yes. Allah, that's why you, the kids got scared. You know, three times I asked by Allah. So he said, yes. Then he hugged me, he said. And he said, I heard, and he was crying. It's such a moving incident. Then he said, he told me, I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying, that Allah saying, Allah's love will be given to those who love one another for the sake of Allah. But yani, if this is the case, don't ever think that loving each other for the sake of Allah are a cheap, it's just a cheap word. Shaykh, I love you for the sake of Allah. Oh, thank you. Shukran. It's not cheap word.
The love one another for the sake of Allah has to have action, to be translated to action, to show in our action in the way we deal with each other. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من سره أن يجد حلاوة الإيمان فليحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله. If you really want to feel the sweetness of Iman, love one for the sake of Allah alone, not for any worldly reasons. Whoever love for the sake of Allah, hate for the sake of Allah, give for the sake of Allah, take for the sake of Allah, he a person or she's a person who have completed all the ties or the principles or have laid down a strong foundation for his or her faith. قَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ عُرَى الْإِيمَانِ يَقُولِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And listen to this hadith, because this hadith shows you a little bit about what this love for Allah means. قال أبو موسى الأشعري, he said, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, after the salat, he turned around and he addressed the people. He said, أيها الناس, اسمعوا وعوا وعقلوا وعلموا. People, listen. He addressed them, he said, people, listen. Understand, know what I'm going to tell you. Inna lillahi azza wa jalla ibada, laysu bi anbiya'a wala shuhada. Among Allah's servants, people who are not prophets and they are not shaheeds, no martyrs. Yaghbituhum al-anbiya'u wa shuhada. Their status will be something the prophets and the messenger looking up to it and desiring it. Prophet and messenger will desire the status that those people have in the day of judgment. Because their status and how close they are from Allah. يَغْبِطُهُمْ عَلَى مَجَالِسِهِمْ وَقُرْبِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. A Bedouin came. Stand up. قام أعرابي. قال يا رسول الله إنعتهم لنا. Ya Rasulullah, tell us who they are. Not who they are, he said, describe them to us. Smart question. Why he said, describe them so I can be like them. فَتَبَسَّمَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِقَوْلِهِ وَقَالْ. He smiled, صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he said, هُمْ نَاسٌ مِّنْ أَفْنَاءِ النَّاسِ وَنُزَّاعِ الْقَبَائِلِ لَمْ تَصِلْ بَيْنَهُمْ أَرْحَامٌ مُتَقَارِبَةٌ. They are from different backgrounds, from different tribes, different nations. They are not related to one another by blood or anything like that. They love one another for the sake of Allah. وَتَصَافَوْا يَا سَلَامْ. وَتَصَافَوْا. Their hearts are clean towards one another. They're not carrying anything in their hearts against one another. يضع الله لهم منابر من نور يجلسهم عليها يوم القيامة. Allah will set for them a chairs made of light in the day of judgment. فيجعل وجوههم نورا وثيابهم نورا. Their clothes made of light. You know, in the day of judgment, everybody stripped naked, but some, the believer will be dressed later on. And those people will be dressed with a cloth that's shining, has light coming out of it, glowing. And their faces, light coming out of it, shining. يَفْزَعُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يَفْزَعُونَ. People are terrified in the day of judgment, but those one are not. Why? Because they are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No fear upon them. And they should never ever feel sorrow. Yes, the brothers, يعني the love for one another, something don't benefit only in the dunya and in the akhirah. قال علي بن أبي طالب الإخوان هم عدة. Your brothers, they are your, يعني the thing that you can rely on it in the dunya and in the akhirah. Then they said, in the dunya, I understand. He stand beside me, help me. But in the akhirah, قال علي, أما قرأتم, don't you read what Allah said in the Quran? فَمَا لَنَا مِن شَافِعِينَ وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ. The kuffar would say, we have no intercessor and we have no friends to help us today. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he said, if the kuffar said that, that means the believer, they will have intercessors, they will have people intercede for them, and they will have friends that they will intercede for them and care about them. That's why if you love one another for the sake of Allah, one of the things that you should do, help your brother financially if he needs. Ra'a rajul, one man, so two. He said, who are they? He said, they are brothers. MashaAllah, love one another for the sake of Allah. One of them very poor, one of them very rich. He said, they cannot be ever brothers. It doesn't work. They claim this complete brotherhood, and one of them absolutely poor and the other one absolutely rich. He would have helped his brother. He wouldn't let his brother like that. يقول واحدهم يقول اقترضت من أخي. I went to take money from my friend. So when he said, can you give me a loan? And he told me how much. قال فسقط في عيني. When he told me how much, I lost respect for him. Between brothers, when it reached that level, there is no how much. That's why Al-Hasan al-Basri said, do you put your hand in your brother's pocket and wallet and you take what you want? He said, no. He said, you're not brothers yet. He means, يعني the relationship did not reach that level. Somebody said, Sheikh, can I put my hand in your pocket right now? I'll say no. Why? You should practice what you preach. I do. But what give you the right to say that to me? What give me the right to say that to you? The brotherhood between all the Muslims, this is one thing, common thing. But what they talk about is that special relationship, special bond. Yes, there is people maybe among you. I will tell them, yes, absolutely. Take my credit card, take my money, do whatever you want. I don't have a problem. Because there is people, I have that bond with them. I spend time with them. And I lived with people like that. Wallahi, I remember living with people, they're like that. We were in college, and some of my friends, we're like that. I would never hesitate to put my hand in his pocket and take, or his wallet when he sleep, take whatever money I want. And he will do the same to me. Because we're brothers, we're so close to each other. We never ever had a problem with something like this. I traveled once with a group of people who went camping in the desert. And our tent was not very good. It has an area where cold air comes from it. And you guys know, desert in the cold weather, how it looks like. I woke up in the middle of the night. And I found one of my friends. What he did, he went and he put his pillow and he put his back against that hole where the cold air coming. So he will protect us from the cold air. With his own body. He can get sick, but he doesn't mind. To keep the brother safe. He doesn't mind. Another incident I will never forget in my life. Ever. I was also in another trip with my friends. And in the middle of the night, I noticed something very strange for one of the brothers. It was in the summer and it was very bad mosquito bites. Everybody like scratch. This brother in the night, what he did, he uncovered his back. So I said, why did you do that? He said, so the mosquitoes will come to me and will not go to you guys. When you see examples like this, is something I saw with my own eyes. I lived it. Those are people that you know that it means a lot to have a friend like that. It's so easy to sacrifice for a friend, but it's very hard to find one. It's very hard to find a true friend, a true brother. And by the way, Don't deceive yourself with this general, and we all, don't think, oh, I have so many friends. There are very few in life. And so many people, they don't even have a single one. Especially people who come and work in countries like Qatar, and they come from other countries, work. They forget about the importance of a social life. You're not a machine. No matter where you live, you're not a machine. You still need brothers. You still need social life. Your family, your husband, your wife, your children cannot fill the need of a friend. You still need to have a friend. that you talk to, you joke with, you spend time with, you feel close to. That's essential for your life to be smooth and correct. To imagine the friendship turned to be brotherhood. And this bond is so strong between you and them. And this brotherhood, even in some of the Salaf, they said, my brother died and he spent 40 years looking after his family. After his brother's death. 40 years he looking after his wife and his daughters. And that's true friendship. True love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loving one another for the sake of Allah also doesn't mean that I don't. As-sadiq man sadaqak, la man sadaqak. True friends is the one who tell you the truth. He doesn't he tell you the truth. Not to tell you what you want to hear. True friends will be a true advisor to you. Give you the right advice. Will not deceive you. Will not take advantage of you. That's not friendship. That's why the ulama said, if there is like someone who's so close to you and your friend, you don't make money out of them. يعتبرون هذه نذالة من خوارم المروءة. One of the bad manners. طيب. The next point, which is the fifth, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and a man who, an extremely beautiful woman, seduced him, but he rejects her offer by saying, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man, and this hadith also can apply to a woman who seduced by a handsome man, powerful man, and she said, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both get the ajr. Both get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a man, because a man might refuse the effort, the man, he will say no, mostly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Woman might say, and that doesn't undervalue her as well, but the ulama said sometimes a woman might say no because she's afraid of getting pregnant, losing virginity, shame the family. Men, they might not fear about some of this stuff. But no, if a woman do say no for the sake of Allah, or a man say no for the sake of Allah, the reward happens. Because men can say no for other reason, afraid of disease. That's not for the sake of Allah, that's for the sake of dunya. But if you do this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be among those people who will be in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, beautiful woman. Because if someone who is not attractive to you seduce you, oh no, thank you. It's just not because I'm not interested. It's not because I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's quite different. And also another narration said, powerful. She will guarantee you protection. And the best example is Yusuf alayhi salam. Powerful woman, beautiful woman. He's young. His last strong, single, never get married. Okay? And he's a stranger. Considered low class in the society. Nobody care who he is. He can go away with it, nobody even pay attention. Because sometimes when you're on a big name, big titles, you're under scrutiny and every lights upon you. People care what you do. There is people following your act. But if you like somebody in the bottom of the society, nobody even care what you do. So he was like that in the bottom of the society. Nobody even cared if he did it. He's just a slave. Who cares about him? But that's another reason for him to go away with it. Stranger do things in a place where they're not known. They will never do it in their hometown. We have a saying in America. We say, what's happened in Vegas, stay in Vegas. Because when people go to Las Vegas, they do a lot of bad things. Nobody knows them over there. And stay there. Who cares? So that's why when you travel outside your neighbors, family, nobody knows you. A lot of people do things, they would never do it in their hometown. So he's a stranger. He has more reason for him to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was approached by the woman. She's the one who approached him. Alone, provide protection and threaten him. If he doesn't answer her, he will be in trouble. Can you put all these reasons together? فَاسْتَعْصَمْ Even the word so strong, fasta'asam. He held strong. This woman, when she came to him, they have a god, one of their gods, statues. So what she did, she saw the statues, and she kind of hesitated for a second. She took the scarf and she covered the statues. She covered the statue. She said, okay, now we can talk. Then Yusuf alayhi salam told her, what about this? How are you going to cover him? How about Allah? How can you cover him? This God, you cover him with your veil, with your scarf. But Allah, how are you going to cover him? That's why a man with a woman alone in the desert, then he told her, don't worry. Don't worry. There is no one with us except al-kawakib, except the stars. Then she told him, وَأَيْنَ مُكَوْكِبُهَا? Where is the one who made the stars? How can you block him? Where did he go? That's what makes you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, I fear Allah. أعوذ بالله معاذ الله. I will never do that. I'll never fall in this great sin.
وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا.
Don't even come closer to zina.
إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا.
It's an indecency. It's fahisha, fuhsh. In the word, say kila fuhsh. Even your face change when you pronounce it. The sheen, the ha, the fa, make you disgusted by it. That's why I don't know any punishment worse than stoning to death. And it was ordained for those who fornicate while they are married. Al-ulama said why? Because stoning, it make every single part of your body suffer until you die. Because the sexual lust, every single also part of your body, nerve system in your body, was so excited, reached that basically climax in your relationship. If everything, the lust was in every part of your body. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the punishment goes to every part of your body as well. It's such crime. لا يزني حين لا يزني المؤمن حين يزني وهو مؤمن. It never be a believer when you are committing a zina. You're not a believer. Your iman is so low that you don't even deserve the title of a believer. الزina دين. الزina is a debt. You will pay it from your own family. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, it's a debt. Your family will pay it out. Ali ibn Abi Talib said that. So many companions mentioned this. That you fornicate, in man zana zunya bihi, walau fi dari bayt, walau inda bayt. Whoever commits zina, a zina will happen in his family. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, anyone commits zina, zina will happen in his own family. So be careful. This is one of the sins that the punishment for it is hastened in the dunya. In hasten is hastened in the dunya. Unless you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you inshallah and your family. How can you protect yourself from this? Remember any time, cut this the thing that lead to zina. Watching the haram, being alone with a woman, touching a woman. Okay, looking at women with lust, looking at pornography, movies, or pictures, images. Doing all the things that encourage. And I want to tell you something. Sexual lust, zina, will never go away when you try the sins. Yani some people said, let me get out of my system. I make zina once. And Imam Ibn Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, said, some people, they make zina. قال لو زنا بنساء بغداد كلهن ما شبع. If he makes zina with every single woman in the city of Baghdad, he will never be enough. He will say, give me the woman of Dimashq. Let me start with the woman in Dimashq. Will never end. That's why when you have this sexual lust, the way to give it away is not by doing more haram. You're never going to take the fire by adding fire. The only time you're going to take the fire by adding water. Some people said, oh, maybe, you know, some of these things, like masturbation, stuff like that, can be a solution. It's not a solution. You're adding more, the solution is to fast. The solution is to lower your gaze. The solution is not to look at the haram. The solution is not to say the haram. Not to chat in haram. The solution is to be around a good company. The solution is to get married. The solution is to put hijab. And by the way, I'm talking to both gender. The solution for the sister also to lower her gaze. To not to touch and to be alone with a man without mahram. The solution is to follow the Sharia rules. The solution is to empower marriage and encourage our youth to get married. This will be the solution. The solution is not to have that free mixings that it leads to fawahish, nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. The solution is to have, basically, is to have people following the Islamic rules and Sharia. Number six is a person who give a charity with his left hand, that his right that with his left hand will not know what he is giving or she is giving. Why his right hand? Why his left hand will not know what's the right hand giving? قال العلماء, because two reasons. One, because he give it in secret. He hide it. So he hide it and give it in secret that his left hand will not even see it. That's one opinion. The second opinion is because he gives so much that his left hand cannot keep track of how much he gives. And it could be both. Could be both. So that's why your left hand will not know what you're... Yani you are a giver. SubhanAllah, giving is a habit. Donating and give it money, it's a habit. By the way, a lot of people think sadaqah, it's an occasional thing. يعني Ramadan, the 10 days of the Hijjah, the day of Zakat, that's fine. But that's not true. That's not what the case is. There is a lot of misconception about giving. This one of them, they think it is an occasion, happening once or twice a year. That's not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. Those who give days and nights. Days and nights they give. سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً. In public and in secret. قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا مِنْ يَوْمْ يُصْبِحْ. Every single day in the morning, Allah sent two angels. They say, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa wa a'ti mumsikan talafa. Oh Allah, give each and everyone who is giving today khalaf, a replacement, a reward in the akhirah, and a replacement in the dunya. In this holy life. Every single morning. Not every Ramadan, every single morning. And those who hold back, destroy their wealth. The narrator of this hadith said, the day I heard this hadith, I learned about this hadith, he said, I never ever miss a day without giving anything. Even if it is an onion, I give it to my neighbor, or a biscuit. And some days I have nothing to give, no money. You know what he used to do? To take the crumbs of the bread. And he goes next to his house. He said, outside my door, there is a what do you call that? An ant's nest. Ants. The ants outside. He said, take the crumbs. And I said, Ya Rab, this is the only thing I can donate today to these ants, to the bugs outside. And I put it for them. But he doesn't want to miss a single day without salah. I know brothers, they do this on a monthly basis. So basically they calculate, so automatically from their banks, go to a charity organization. the point is to be every day. Another misconception about zakat and sadaqah, people think they give sadaqah are the rich, and you're wrong. If you're a poor, if you're a student, if you're young, you still need to give sadaqah. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم to Bilal, and Bilal was a poor person. Do you think Bilal is rich? Bilal is a poor person. He used to be among Ahlul Suffa at one time. He said, أنفق يا بلال وتا تخشى من العرش إقلالا. يا بلال, give and don't fear poverty. يا بلال, give and don't fear poverty. So even young poor, young kids, young girls, old, even wives. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, any woman give money from her husband's money without his permission. I know the brother going to be sad and mad and angry at me. He said, Sheikh Waleed, why are you ruining it in the end of the program? But that's what the Prophet ﷺ said, Sahih Bukhari. He said, any woman give from her husband's money, without causing harm to him financially, without his permission, Allah reward both of them. Allah reward both of them. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا معشر النساء تصدقن. O woman, give charity. Give charity. He encouraged women to give charity. Women were not mostly the earning members of the society, but he still urged them to give sadaqah. Another misconception about sadaqah and giving is the attitude. Wallahi ya akhi and ya akhti, whenever you give sadaqah, don't ever think that you are doing favor to the person. I'll tell you how the Salaf used to look at it, the early Muslim generation. The Salaf used to say, when we give charity to someone, we used to make their hands as the upper hand. Why? They said, because when I give charity to a poor person, I help someone to buy a car, I help someone to pay a debt, okay? He said, أصلح أنا دنيا ويصلح هو آخرتي. I'm fixing his dunya and him fixing my akhirah. And I give him money and I fix his dunya. But the reward I get will fix my akhirah. Which one is better? Which one doing favor to another? The one who fixing the dunya or the one who fixing the akhirah? That's why Al-Bukhari rahimahullah reported in his book, Al-Fitan. Fitan. Hadith. That in the end of the days, Muslim will go out, could not find anyone except donation. Anyone except sadaqah. I have money, nobody take it. You go back home sad, I couldn't spend it. Al-Ulama said, why Al-Bukhari mentioned this hadith in the book of Al-Fitan, Trials in the End of the Days? He said, because the worst fitna, that you cannot practice your religion. The worst problem, that you can't practice your religion. That's why he mentioned also the other hadith that al-Kaaba will be destroyed. Because you can't practice Hajj and Umrah anymore. So he said, one of the fitan that you cannot practice this important part of our religion, which is giving sadaqah. You can't, it's gone. Nobody's accepting money anymore from you. So that's why I'm saying, يعني النفقة, giving في سبيل الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء. Those who give in the time of ease and the time of hardship. Give and always remember that this is something you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah promised whatever you give is a loan.
من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا.
Who's the person who willing to give loan to Allah? Question. Why Allah said the donation, the sadaqah is a loan? Because if I take a loan from you, I will give it back. And when you give a loan to someone, a loser, who doesn't have a job, you know you're not getting your money back. But you're giving to an earning person, have good money, and you know, I know I'm going to getting it back. But you give a loan to the most rich, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't need your money. He honoring you by allowing you to give him a loan. He honoring you by putting you in this position. And he guarantee you that this is a loan that will be paid back to you. أضعاف مضاعف, multiple times.
فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى.
Those who give, Allah let them have yusra, live life ease. Wallahi akhwan, even the kuffar, or even the non-believer, they say that the charity has an amazing impact on you and making you rich. I was reading a book, it's called The Millionaire Next Door. A book, it's a good book if you want to be a millionaire.
I don't want to be a millionaire. I don't mind, but that was not the purpose of reading the book for me at that time.
It's about how to have a good finance, Amy, to manage your finance. It's called The Millionaire Next Door. There is a whole talk about charity. A common factor between every millionaire, every multi-million companies, that they, the owner, known of giving charity. Just in America, 2 years ago, in America itself, not Muslims, 45 or 43 billionaires, okay? They have given up half of their wealth to charity organization. Yahi, how about me and you? We, the one who read these verses and these ayat, day and night, when it comes to the sadaqah, minkum ma yabkhal, hold back. أَنْفِقْ يُنْفَقْ عَلَيْكَ. Give, it will be given to you. Last one, which is the last one, which is a person who will mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and he or she, their tears will come down. And mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, dhikrullah, is a great act of worship. Dua huwa dhikruh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhukurullaha dhikran kathira wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila.
Oh, you believe, mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. Glorify Him in the day and the night.
فَاذْكُرُوا قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِكُمْ.
Mention Allah when you're standing, when you're laying down, when you wake up, before you go to sleep, when you start your day, when you end your day, before you eat and after you finish food.
وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ.
Mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you success.
وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا.
Those who mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much among males and females, Allah prepared for them a great reward. Beside the shade, great rewards waiting for them.
قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ
سَبَقَ الْمُفَرِّدُونَ. They are ahead of everybody else, those al-mufarridun. Who are they al-mufarridun? He said, al-dhakirin, Allah kathira wa al-dhakirat. Those men and women who mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. Ahead of everybody else toward Jannah. Ahead of everybody else to pass over the sirat. Ahead of everybody else to reach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the day of judgment. Ahead of everybody else to drink from the pool of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahead of everybody else to finish their judgment. Sabaqu fi kulli shay. Ahead of everyone else. So be among them. Be among them. الدُّنْيَا تُمَلْعُونَةٌ مَلْعُونُ فِيمَا فِيهَا إِلَّا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَلَعَهُ وَعَالِمُ مُتَعَلِّمُ. There is nothing worthy of this dunya like dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will tell you, brother and sisters, there is nothing more powerful in dhikr than four words. أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ, most powerful four words. The best dhikr after the Qur'an. After the Quran, four words. Remember them. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. They are the best of the speech. the reward of them, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they are the best thing ever, the sunrise over. They are the one who plant for you trees in Jannah. They are the one that Allah loves the most. Four words, Allah loves them the most. So make sure that you are committed to them. Make sure that you are committed to them. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم in Hadith Sahih. Maybe we'll wrap it up with this just in 1 minute. It's interesting. He said, Can you make 2,500 reward every day? Then he said, how? He said, after each salah, say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wallahu Akbar, 10 times. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wallahu Akbar, 10 times. So how many? 30. 30 times 5. What? 150. He said, this is 150 with your tongue, 1,500 in your skill in the Day of Judgment. The mu'min, everything he does, time 10. Every good deed you do, time 10. Every sin you do, only one. Yani your chance to go to Jannah, 10 to 1. Remember that. And you have to be very bad and a such loser to go to hellfire. And if you good Muslim, من حسن إسلام في الصحيحين, who are good Muslim, their good deeds multiply 700 times. If you're excellent Muslim, everything, not 10, became 700 times. And everybody has that multiplied 700. So anyway, then he said, before you go to bed, say, Subhanallah 33 times. Alhamdulillah 33 times. Allahu Akbar 34 times. How many? 100. With your tongue, 1,000 in your skills. Then he said, beautiful statement. He said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who's among you make 2,500 sins a day? I know some does, some people do. But yani most of people, inshallah, they're not going to do 2,500 sin a day. Because that's how it is. The Prophet is saying, it's like that. Sins versus good deeds. So just these two things, little things you can do with dhikrullah, 2,500 a day. If you just commit to it. So dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the act of worship that all the creation do. It's the only act of worship that we're going to continue doing when we enter Jannah. No other act of worship we ever going to do in Jannah except dhikrullah. Al-ibadah al-wahidah اللي تبقى في الجنة هي ذكر الله. When we enter Jannah, we're going to make tasbih, we're going to make tahmid, we're going to make ذكر لله سبحانه وتعالى. وقالوا الحمد لله. So that's why, and also it is the ibadah that all the creation involve in. Mountains, birds, animals, anything you can think of. How can you commit to dhikr? Number one. Realize the virtue of it. Number two. Make sure that you memorize it or you have a reminder. A nice app, one of the apps that I always, even myself, because I can't remember all of them, you know, especially sometimes you get kind of old and you start forgetting, you know, especially if you don't practice it. Alhamdulillah, yani, I don't know, where's my phone? You have an app, it's called My Dua. I always read from it. Some of the adhkar that I didn't memorize, like I increase my ability to memorize or something to remind me. So I have an app, a reminder. Some people even put some like things in the car, in the house. Hey, remind yourself to say this, to say that, to train yourself to make dhikr all the time. Your family. Before you go to sleep, take a habit that you make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put a schedule. You're going to be just a mediocre. If you say, oh, I want to make dhikr, and you don't put a schedule for yourself, you're never going to make it. I'm telling you. A lot of people try. Make sure I have a time. This time is for reading Quran. Every day I come, the adhan al-isha comes while I'm in the masjid. There is 20 minutes between adhan and iqamah here, in isha prayer. 25? Huh? This 20 minutes or 25 minutes is for reading Quran every day. Isha comes, I'm here in the masjid. If I don't make a specific time like this, I'm not going to be able to make it. I know one brother, I used to study in university, not far away from Qatar, it's called Al-Ahsa in Saudi Arabia. Okay, and this brother lives in Dammam. So he drives every day about 150 kilometers every day, back and forth. For some reason, for his parents. This brother finished memorizing the Quran in 6 months. I said, how? He said, because of the driving. I do my hifz and muraja'ah every day, going and back. See, mainly because of this. Some brothers, their adhkar the morning, when they go to work, they do the adhkar while they're driving. And mashallah, you have here good traffic. You can do all your adhkar. Okay, can do them twice sometimes. So, you know, occupy your time. Put a schedule for yourself. A sister, this is my time for dhikr. And put it and commit yourself to it. As for the issue of crying while you're mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thing that helped you to soften your heart, and the point is not to cry. Crying is people different. People cry, people don't cry. The people are different. But the point is not just the tears. It is what the feeling in the heart. Okay? How to have that closeness? The best thing I can tell you in the end of this course is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, the more you know Him, the more you love Him. يعني قال أحد السلف, one of the students said in front of one of the scholars, he said, من عرف الله تعالى حزنه قال لا والله من عرف الله تعالى فرحه. He said, whoever knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be afraid of Him, be sad. He said, no, who really knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be so happy. Wallahi, when you know Him and you know His attributes and His qualities, it brings nothing but love, respect, even fear to Allah subhanahu from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes you close to Him. And when you call upon Him, you relate to Him. But those who don't know Allah's names and attributes, they can relate. Those who make dua with language that they don't understand, they cannot relate to. That's why I never ever advise you to make dua with a language that you don't know what it means. Don't ever make a dhikr with a language you know what it means. Say it in English, in French, in any language you want. The point of the dua and dhikr, to understand what you say, to live what you say, to come from your heart. And that's the whole point. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who mention Him a lot, and to be among those who will be close to Him in the day of judgment. And be among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them in this dunya and elevate their level in the dunya and in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who love one another for the sake of Allah, gathered for His sake, and we will depart from here also for His sake. And again, in the end of this course, I'd like to thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm grateful and thankful to You, Allah, for giving us the opportunity to come together and spend this time together.